Welcome to this deep dive.
Yeah.
Today we're taking a look at the legacy of Pope Francis following his passing on April 22nd, 2025.
Yes, and we'll be drawing from that Christian Culture News article, The Legacy of Pope Francis. The idea is to really understand his impact within the church and, well, beyond it too.
Exactly. And for you, the learner, our aim is to pull out the most significant points, what really made a difference without getting bogged down.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was right from the start such a unique figure, wasn't he?
Absolutely. First from the Americas, first from the Southern Hemisphere.
And that constant focus on mercy, compassion, social justice, It really set a different tone immediately.
It did. So perhaps we should start at the beginning, his early life.
Good idea. So Jorge Mario Bergoglio, born in Buenos Aires, Argentina, December 17th, 1936.
Right, to Italian immigrant parents. And the article makes a point about his upbringing, modest household, diverse city environment.
And you can really see how that might have, you know, shaped his views later on, especially regarding pastoral work.
Definitely. It seems to connect directly to his later focus on the margins.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Before the seminary, he actually studied chemistry.
He did, at the University of Buenos Aires. Quite a change to then enter the Jesuit order in 1958.
It really is. Shows a certain intellectual breadth, perhaps?
I think so. Engaging with both the scientific and the spiritual. And his Jesuit formation, the article stresses this, that was key.
Yeah, the Jesuits are known for that focus on social justice, intellectual rigor.
Exactly. Deep spirituality, too. He was ordained in 69, and right away his work was in those marginalized communities.
So that focus was there from the very start, long before the papacy was even a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Then auxiliary bishop, later Archbishop of Buenos Aires, always pushing for inclusivity, for reform.
And then the big moment, March 13th, 2013, elected Pope.
The first Jesuit Pope.
Yeah.
The first Latin American Pope. Just incredible, really.
It feels like those key themes of his papacy flowed quite naturally from that background, doesn't it?
I think that's right. The article really flags his commitment to social justice as just central.
Unwavering, it seems. Always speaking for the underprivileged, challenging inequality.
And always stressing compassion. That word comes up again and again.
Absolutely. A voice for the voiceless, you could say. And then there's the environment.
Ah, yes, Laudato Si, 2015. That was huge.
Maybe explain briefly what an encyclical is for anyone less familiar.
Sure. It's basically a major letter from the Pope on an important topic. And Laudato Si, praise be to you, it was a call for everyone globally to take responsibility for our planet.
Highlighting how everything's connected.
Exactly. And connecting it to today's concerns, I mean, climate change, sustainability, these are top of mind for so many listeners.
Right. And he didn't just frame it scientifically or politically.
No, that's the key thing the article points out. He framed it as a moral issue, a spiritual imperative.
So it wasn't just talk either, was it? He called for real action.
Concrete action. The article really positions this environmental focus as a potentially massive part of his legacy.
Hmm. And we also have to talk about interfaith dialogue.
Yes, another cornerstone.
He was tireless, wasn't he?
Constantly working to build bridges, foster discussions between different faiths.
Always pushing for mutual understanding, respect. The article suggests his goal was clearly to, you know, get past the divisions. Find common ground, build peace, focus on shared values.
So his work really stretched far beyond just internal church matters. He was tackling major global issues head on.
Definitely. Climate change, as we said with Laudato Si, but also stressing the ethics of it, how it hits the poor the hardest.
Right. And the article also mentions his focus on poverty itself.
That preferential option for the poor, as it's often called.
He kept advocating for policies, didn't he? To reduce poverty, inequality.
And working with international bodies on that, it wasn't just words.
And migration, that's another huge one where he made his voice heard.
Incredibly impactful, yes. That visit to Lesbos in 2016, welcoming refugees personally.
That image really stuck with people, I think. It did. It showed that solidarity, that compassion in action, right in the middle of a global crisis. He consistently argued for humane policies.
Beyond those big three, climate, poverty, migration, he was also involved in peace building more broadly.
Yes, the article mentions that too, facilitating dialogue in conflict zones, bringing religious leaders together, trying to foster understanding.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. His personal style, the article suggests, that was a big part of his appeal. his impact.
Oh, absolutely. That approachable manner, that genuine warmth, it really came across.
The article gives examples like visiting children's hospitals.
Yes, spending time with patients, offering comfort, small acts maybe, but they really humanized the papacy for a lot of people.
Reaching out into the crowds, making those connections.
Exactly. The article argues that this personal touch built a real bond, made the church seem more accessible, more relatable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but it wasn't all straightforward. We need to talk about the challenges, the controversies too.
That's crucial for a balanced view, yes. The article does address this. His more, let's say, progressive leanings on certain traditional teachings.
Like divorce, remarriage, same-sex relationships, the role of women.
Right. Those positions definitely stirred debate and criticism, particularly from more conservative groups within the church, as the article points out.
And we also have to mention the handling of the clerical abuse crisis. That drew significant scrutiny.
It did. The article notes his stated commitment to addressing it, but also acknowledges the critics who felt the reforms didn't go far enough or weren't implemented fast enough.
And it's important, as the article seems to do, just to report these differing perspectives impartially.
Absolutely. And beyond internal church matters, he faced pushback on his stances on climate change, migration, economic inequality.
Political and social opposition.
Yes. Navigating all that, those strong opposing views, that was a constant balancing act throughout his papacy.
So thinking about the future direction he might have envisioned for the church, what does the article suggest there?
Well, the emphasis seems to be on reform, definitely, on fostering more inclusivity, and really trying to engage younger generations.
Adapting to the modern world while staying true to core teachings.
Kind of, yeah. That seemed to be the goal. He pushed for a church where diverse voices felt valued, heard.
Breaking down barriers for marginalized groups.
Yeah.
And that encyclical Fratelli Tutti, Brothers and Sisters, all that fits right in, doesn't it?
Perfectly. It underscores that whole theme of universal fraternity, of community.
And the engagement with young people. Things like the synods on youth.
Right. The article highlights those as deliberate efforts to bring young people into the conversation, address their concerns, involve them in shaping the church's future.
Okay. So now reflecting on his passing, the article talks about the global reaction.
And it really was global. Leaders from all over acknowledging his work on peace, social justice, the environment, interfaith dialogue.
Very broad impact.
Very broad. And within the Catholic community itself, tributes poured in from bishops, clergy.
What are the common themes there?
The article mentions his compassion, his humility came up a lot, and then there were the personal stories.
From individuals he'd impacted directly.
Yes. People touched by his teachings, his actions, maybe inspired to volunteer or finding comfort in his words. Really personal connections.
It seems he resonated on that individual level quite strongly.
He did. And even leaders from other faiths praised his work on understanding and reconciliation.
So bringing it all together, what does the article ultimately suggest is Pope Francis's lasting legacy?
I think the article frames it around his compassion, his commitment to dialogue, and those significant reform efforts both within the church and how it engages with the world.
And his leadership style itself.
Yes, that humility, that consistent focus on the marginalized, presented as maybe a model for the future.
Laudato Si is mentioned specifically again, isn't it? As having a lasting impact on environmental discussions.
Definitely. That and his promotion of interfaith dialogue are highlighted as key legacy pieces, potential guides for future peace efforts.
And internally within the church.
That push for inclusivity. The article suggests that emphasis will continue to shape discussions and developments for a long time.
So overall, the picture painted is of a really transformative figure.
I think so. Remembered for empathy, for tackling big, difficult societal issues head on.
Okay, so let's recap quickly. Our deep dive into this article shows Pope Francis's huge influence came from, well, his dedication to social justice, his groundbreaking environmental work, his pursuit of interfaith dialogue.
Mm-hmm. And all of that driving towards a more inclusive, more relevant church.
Right. So now for you, the learner, a final thought to chew on. Given everything we've discussed, the sheer breadth of his influence, what single aspect of his approach do you think will have the most enduring impact on the world?
Is it the environmental advocacy?
Or maybe that focus on the marginalized?
Mm.
Or perhaps the bridge building between faiths?
Yeah. Which one resonates most and why?
Something to reflect on personally? Maybe even explore a bit further on your own.